Hello, Internet. It's another episode of the Z2 Podcast. Episode number 10. We made it
to 10 whole episodes. We are in the double digits.
Woohoo! It's all downhill from here now.
Always.
Hopefully not. As always, I'm your host, Zach, joined by my ever awesome co-host.
Steve. Wait. No. Wait. Zach. Wait.
We fucked it
Jim?
Up.
Jim.
No.
No. No. Nah, it's Zach. Always Zach.
Always Zach. Can't. You gotta have the Z2. So, we're gonna... We're going to do probably about half a news this week and then a half of a discussion about just good old comics and just a bunch
the
of stuff we've been
dreams.
Reading. Yeah, and a lot of hopes of what's coming out because there's been a lot of like rumors and leaks.
Let me tell you, it's been staggeringly hard not to look at all the Rebirth spoilers that have been posted on Reddit and look at all the discussion forums. Like, the mods are doing a tremendous job keeping everything in like one mega thread, and same with the community. But now it's been on Facebook, it's been on Twitter, and I'm like, I gotta resist until Wednesday when the
We're
actual
so close.
Comic comes out.
You're so close. So anyway, let's start off with some news, particularly movie news, which to everybody's, I guess, surprise, Geoff Johns is now the co-chief of all the DC superhero movies, but apparently, according to him, this has been kind of something that's been in the works for a while.
Well, he's been doing all the TV stuff since Arrow came out. He even wrote a couple of episodes of Arrow. So it's not a really big surprise that the DC chief creative officer and, you know, the DC encyclopedia moves over to this staggering large role for the movie universe, because you kind of want someone to, with that brain, that knowledge, to actually kind of lead this charge into the DC cinematic universe.
Right. And especially since just based on the CBR article, it seems like Warner Brothers is definitely reacting to all the negative criticism towards Batman v Superman. Although according to like Geoff Johns and all like the high up execs, it seems like this has been something that's been in the works for a while. So they're like, yeah, this is more of just, okay, we're trying to refine what we want to do with this now. And we're moving this guy who's been clearly successful in reestablishing DC and working with the TV universe into a bigger role with the movie version now.
I think Geoff Johns is one of those guys who's single-handedly rebooted or rebirthed DC now. I mean, there's Infinite Crisis, there's Final Crisis with Morrison, and then Flashpoint. He kind of leads the way into this new continuity each and every time he touches something, and that's, you know, one of the hopes I'm seeing with Rebirth this week as well.
Right. And I guess one of the big things that we should take away from Geoff Johns taking over the DC movies is he wants to bring hope and optimism back into them, which again, that was, we've talked about this before, but that was a big that was a big point for people not liking Batman v Superman. It's just, oh, it was too dark.
There's so much Jesus imagery because it's a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Superman was pretty much a Jesus type figure and a god. So
yeah, I mean,
sense.
All the people are reaching out to touch him, and then that final scene where they literally look like a Renaissance portrait. Mm-hmm. That was a little too much for me.
Right. It was a bit odd, but you know, it was just the way it was done. So kind of going along with that, wait, I lost my article. Oh, so Warner Brothers finally, and kind of, they had like a big announcement this week, or like some video that came out, and they finally confirmed that the death in Batman v Superman is Jason Todd, which really shouldn't be a surprise since that was pretty much everybody's guess from day one.
I mean, last month, or maybe it was this month, it's hard to blend all the days together. They released like an Instagram picture of the Robin suit in the glass case on the day Jason Todd died. So everyone's like, this is it. This is our confirmation. Oh, and then we finally got our confirmation. But I mean, that opens up a whole set of doors for the DC universe. And even if they do, you know, even if they take the Robins out of order, like Dick Grayson comes next or Tim Drake or whatever, it still allows us to see a lot of the extra stuff.
It'd be kind of cool to see, like, okay, especially maybe in like the Batman solo movie, like, oh, Nightwing shows up and he's talking to Bruce at some point. It's like, maybe something related to Jason. Like, if they decide to go with like a Red Hood storyline, since that's been the rumor for probably a year or two now of, like, that's what the Batman solo movie is going to be about.
Right. That would be a lot of fun.
It would be.
Yeah. I can imagine. Under the Red Hood is probably one of my favorite animated movies. And that's really kind of bumped Jason Todd's popularity in the past few years. So if they do that as the solo movie, you know, Batfleck and whoever Nightwing's going to be would be just so awesome to see on screen together.
Right. At the same point, though, like, isn't it, like, already scheduled to, like, start filming really soon? Or is Batman not scheduled until,
it's
like,
not slated for anything.
No, it's not slated for anything.
No. So DC did announce two unnamed films that are going to go somewhere, but we don't know what those are technically. I mean, Wonder Woman finished wrapping this month.
Justice League
started. Aquaman will be starting after Justice League.
That's in 2017?
At the end of 2017 or early 2018. Yeah. But with all of these movies coming out, you know, it's really exciting just to see everything. Mm-hmm. Even though, I don't know. Or maybe that's like, we're going to slowly sneak in a Nightwing cameo or a Robin cameo into the Justice League movie.
Yeah, maybe try to build that whole, just build up everybody's, like, side story, like, backstories to, during the Justice League movie instead of having like, a Batman or the Flash solo movie being the origin story. So, it'd be kind of cool. I'd rather prefer they do that, just, like, small tidbits of, like, okay, we get an idea of what these characters are, like, where they came from, kind of like how they did in Civil War with Spider-Man. Like, I thought that was a good way to demonstrate that, and hopefully they don't do another origin movie in Spider-Man Homecoming, because that would kind of just be like, we've seen
you don't
want to
see Uncle Ben die again. We've seen the Wayans die
Twitter,
like 11 times.
Stop killing me.
Hey, but he might not be dead anymore. Sorry, Spider-Man continuity in the comics right now. Someone's returning, but we don't know who. Yeah.
Mysteries. So kind of just like another thing that came out was the slated director Seth Graham Smith, that was set to direct The Flash in 2018, has dropped out of the...
That was early this month, though.
Was it?
Yeah, that was like...
Everybody's just reporting on it like
early
right
May.
Now,
apparently. Well... I remember he left, and then at some point people were freaking out. It's like, oh, we haven't heard about James Wan and Aquaman. And then
he posted
a really snarky tweet. It's like, I just got done directing The Conjuring. Calm yourselves.
We're good here.
Yeah. But
I mean,
there's
still plenty of time to find a new director.
And
like,
it's not the first time directors have been dropped. I mean, what's his face got dropped from Ant-Man before filming started?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's a big director. I can't remember his name. But, like, every time bad news comes out about someone leaving or someone, an actor leaving, everyone's, like, think it's the end of the world for the DC universe. Whereas when it happens in the Marvel movies, it's like, oh, they're fine. They'll find someone. Yeah. Don't worry.
Edgar Wright was the guy who was dropped off.
There we go.
After years of wanting to do that project. As we both take a sip of water.
That was really bad timing on our part.
It was. But it just, everything I've seen online is everybody is losing their shit. They're like, oh, DC's, they're trying to, like, fix everything immediately. It's just like, calm your shit, bro. We've seen two movies from this universe so far. Like,
well, it was funny because you and I were talking about it. After the Powerless trailer dropped, people were like, oh, this looks too lighthearted and this looks humorous. Way to go, DC. And I'm like, but this is what people wanted.
What?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't care what you say. DC is absolutely killing it on the TV show front. They have 4 or 5 shows run by the same guy on CW now. Meanwhile, Marvel's like, yeah, we have one TV show.
Which I barely, like, I still don't care about it. Even with, like, all the, like I've said this before. Every time I see an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., advertisement in a Marvel book, it just looks so cheesy to me. Like, I'm like, so there's stuff with Inhumans, but this still doesn't, like, nothing's gripping me to this.
I'm sure that it got better. Like, I stopped after
Yeah, everybody
5.
Says it got better, but I never watched it, and I just didn't care about it.
But at the same time, DC/CW has built, like, this really cool TV universe where you have something like super highly budgeted like Legends of Tomorrow or Flash, but at the same time, if you want something that's like super chill, you had Arrow for like 3 seasons, before they did like the whole magic thing.
Yeah.
And then I guess Arrow for season 5 is supposed to be no magic, no metahumans. It's just a dude again. And I'm like, yes, it's a guy.
Bring it back to, please bring it back to season 2.
Yeah, the magic thing great. For season 4.
Like, I mean, it's
a lot of season 4 bugs me.
It would have been, I feel like it would have gone better if they were allowed to use Constantine more. Just because he's such a, like, they made it, like, him such a pivotal point of the, like, the whole magic realm. And it's just like, oh, yeah, here's all this stuff I got to go by. But yeah. Obviously that was due to contracting.
It's kind of the same thing that we talk about with Steven a lot, where he's excited for Doctor Strange. He's like Doctor Strange as a character, and he wants to see magic be built into this Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I'm like, Marvel? I think off the top of my head, I can name 3 magic users, Scarlet Witch, Doctor Strange, and Wiccan. And I can't really name anyone else who is a magic user off the top of my head. Just because magic really isn't that big of a deal in Marvel. Marvel is more of the galactic and scientific universe, whereas DC is like, yeah, we have an entire Justice League for just the magic stuff.
Yeah, we have all the elements controlled by magic.
Yeah.
And but it's just kind of weird because, like, every time they bring Marvel brings up a magic storyline, it's like, oh my god, this is the most important thing ever. Like, hold your shit, guys. Like, there's a whole demon realm and stuff. We got to take care of this.
It's even like the magic users in Marvel, they're mutants other than Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, Nico. I don't know about Nico.
I can't remember. Who she is.
Oh, and the literal character named Magic, Colossus' sister, is also a mutant.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, they have access to the demon realm, and that's where the X-Men are hiding right now in Lemire's run. But at the same time, it's like, well, you've literally tied all of your magic to the genetic strand of the mutants. Whereas, you know, in DC, I guess the, like, Zatanna and all of them, they're technically Homo Magi, I think. They're like a whole separate subspecies of humans, but magic was something that they learned, not something that's like, all right, we're going to hit you in your genetic code, and now you have access to all of this. Have fun learning how to control it. And then, you know, Zatanna's like, I was raised by my father for years to learn magic. And then Constantine's like, yeah, I went to hell.
It was cool.
Yeah, and then it's just, I don't know. I just can't get into the Marvel Magic universe as much as I am with DC. I don't know. People like Swamp Thing and Constantine are far more interesting than Doctor Strange or magic.
I feel like it's probably just the way they've been built up to. Like, they were tied to Vertigo in their own, like, universe for such a long time, and then they got pulled in.
Well, even, like, Zatanna is just such an interesting character versus, I don't know. I guess you can, I guess Scarlet Witch is a great character. I'm not even guessing. She is a really good character. I like her, but there is a point where she just irreversibly started bothering me for some reason. I don't know what it was.
Was it House of M?
I loved House of M, but it's like, you royally fucked up.
You fucked up everything.
And I mean, oh, I love the House of M storyline. Shout out to Brian Michael Bendis for doing that. Again, I praise at the altar of Bendis. But it's, there's so many things going on in that whole magical realm of Marvel that's just not appealing, because there's no boundaries or barriers.
Right.
Doctor Strange is Sorcerer Supreme. Wiccan was a candidate of Sorcerer Supreme. Scarlet Witch is a mutant who can say 3 words and force the world to change, whereas, like, in DC, you need a speedster traveling back in time to stop the death of his mother to change everything.
Yeah. Or every single multiverse collapsing in on itself. Something crazy like that. Yeah. I mean, I do like some of the magic users in Marvel. Like, I think Nico's powers are very interesting, of how she, like, has to adapt. It's like,
oh, Doctor Doom's a magic user. Sorry, that's 5 I can name.
There we go. We got 5. Like, I like Nico's power set of, like, all right, I can use any spell I can think of in the world. I just can only use the word once. So she gets, like, all these loopholes of, like, all right, if I say it this way, it still counts and it'll still work.
Okay.
It's a really interesting power.
Like, Nika's Runaways, right?
Yeah, she was part of the Runaways, and now she's part of A-Force.
Okay. Did she skip? Was she also part of Young Avengers? I'm still trying to go through that stuff right now.
No.
Because I know in Gillen's run,
she wasn't in
a
Gillen's.
Lot of the Runaways came over.
Okay. She wasn't in Gillen. Wiccan and Speed were part of Gillen's. I think she was just Runaways, and then she jumped onto A-Force in Secret Wars.
Okay.
So keep Let's jump back to TV and film because we kind of just got off on a tangent there.
Shout out to Magic. It was a magical experience, Zach. Don't deny it.
Good segue. Michael Keaton, it was rumored that he's like, oh no, I'm dropping off. But now apparently they worked out things and he's back on Spider-Man and he's going to be the Vulture.
Possibly. I don't know. I saw something about it being confirmed. I saw one thing that
said it was like confirmed.
And then when I did the same thing. It's Michael Keaton confirmed Vulture, and then you click on the link and the title's actually something separate. Oh, yeah. I'm like, shout out to clickbait.
Fuck you, clickbait.
But I think that would actually be such an awesome first villain for the Spider-Man movies. It's not something totally crazy? Out it's not there. Like
the Goblin or Doc Ock or anything.
It's a hero who's been in his career for 6 months, according to the Civil War movie. Mm. That's when he went public.
Yeah.
And then in Civil War, he did his whole thing with... So I'm wondering if this... continuity's sake, I think it should take place after Civil War, for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And...
if we get a goddamn origin story, I'm gonna straight up leave.
But I think the way they should do it... And I think Amazing Spider-Man did this really well. One of the few things that was awesome about them is that they slowly linked everything to Oscorp. Mm-hmm. All of the villains were linked to Oscorp in some way, fashion.
Yeah, they wanted to do a Sinister Six movie at some point, so it made sense.
And I think that would be Marvel's best intention is if, say, Michael Keaton is our Vulture, that they don't kill him, like in every single Marvel movie where they just do a one-off villain. And they make him linked to the... Oscorp in some way. I mean, just like how Amazing Spider-Man with the Lizard and with the Goblin and all those other guys, because that way they can actually properly build up to a Sinister Six and create something that create like a villain hive mind, essentially. Because like I said, my problem is with every Marvel movie is that they kill off the villain at the end of the movie and we will never see their return other than Crossbones. And there's no real threat posed by them after the movie. They're not seeking revenge. They're not plotting something secretly while another villain is doing something. And that's kind of the really nice touch with Spider-Man is that all of his villains are buddies, essentially.
And they work together to some capacity. And like Black Hat's notorious for just like working with everyone.
Yeah.
There's always Kingpin they could throw in there if they want to do something with that, maybe.
Exactly. And... you know, it'd be awesome to see the Kingpin from the Netflix series move into the movies too.
I mean, they have. It seems they are all in the same universe.
In their contract, do it. They're contracted for the seasons of the Netflix, and then movies if asked. So that was the same deal with Matt Murdock. That was Charlie Cox's contract. It says you are required to do the Daredevil Netflix series, and then if we ask you to be in something like Infinity War. You are obligated to come via contract, which I mean, I'm kind of tired of seeing a Norman Osborn, the whole Osborn family and dynasty.
I would love to see the Sinister Six run by Kingpin.
Exactly. Or see Kingpin be the one who's
pulling all the strings.
Not even pulling all the strings, but like, all right, Hammerhead, you're in charge while I'm gone. I have this blind dude who I need to fight. So Hammerhead is the one who is dealing all of the weapons for Kingpin, and that's where we get our Vulture or something along those lines. One of my favorite things about Spider-Man is that all of his villains were average, everyday people, and then they got technology.
Most of them. Yeah. Except for the case of Venom and Carnage.
And Electro and all those guys. Yeah. Like the crazy villains that we talked about. And, you know, for a hero 6 months into his career, give him something low-key, give him a villain
just a basic, like, thief.
Yeah. And, I mean, give me the Vulture that is not like a vampire who's trying to suck people's life force away, unless that's how they turn old.
Give him the gas bombs, do all that. Like, make it a classic Vulture that makes sense to the story you're trying to tell. It'd be kind of cool to see Flash maybe get infected with the Venom symbiote too, if that was involved.
Yeah, I mean,
but that just
build up the supporting cast because, again, I love Spider-Man. He's one of my favorite heroes, and that's one of the charms of Spider-Man is that he has such a large supporting cast that's always there. Mm-hmm. And you know, he has
years upon years of characters to go through.
Yeah, and that's why I love high school Spider-Man. More than anything else is because you get to see all those interactions. You get to see Flash turn out from like this crappy jock into someone that's nicer, kinder, even before he lost his legs.
Yeah, and became Venom Space Knight. So back to, let's jump back to the CW stuff. So they've,
man, we get derailed so hard.
We're going back and forth there. We start with about one thing and then we just jump right into
it. It's a discussion. We're good.
We'll figure it out. So CW's confirmed they want to do a four-way crossover with all their properties now. And I don't know how that's going to work.
Where's Supergirl going to
come? Yeah, are they going to like decide, oh wait, no, she is in universe now. She is part of us now.
Well, yeah, she's part of that universe, but they've very clearly shown she's an alternate Earth.
No, I'm saying, like, do they somehow, like, make some crazy loophole? It's like, oh, no, you're just off in our national city now.
Unless it's, like, they still keep around the Vortexes and Flash somehow.
Maybe. That way. I mean, maybe that. Well, I mean, they've used the giant thing in Star Labs to create the portal.
Yeah, and then Barry's tachyon particle chest rig. I mean, it'd be nice to see, like, the Vortexes stay in case, you know, as much as I hate to say it, Wells goes back to his Earth, because I love freaking, what's his name as an actor.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like he's either going to die in the season finale, or he's just going to go back to his Earth and we won't see him again.
Tune in Tuesday on CW to find out.
I know.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be crazy to see a four-way crossover, especially if it's gonna last all freaking week, and then it has to change tone from this show to this show to this show to this show. Yeah, because it's like runs that? Super light. I imagine Berlanti is gonna come in himself and say, all right, let's map this out together.
We have a four-part episode here.
Yeah, but it's gonna be like the ridiculous thing is with all four of their properties, it starts as like a super lighthearted thing with Supergirl and then progressively gets darker into Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah,
just everybody, then suddenly there's a giant vortex that sucks everybody in and you die and Barry has to run back in time again.
Season 4 of Arrow.
Just let it in. Can it die yet?
Yeah. You know, it is crazy, but it's something that would make me super excited because it's that fanboy experience of everyone's on screen together.
If it's done well, I'm super pumped about it. I'm just worried that it's not going to be done well because there's so many different parts to it.
Yeah.
That have to be taken into account. Like, you have someone who's superpower. Well, you have Barry and Flash or Barry and Supergirl and along with just a ton of other like superpowered characters. And then you have Ollie just there. Shooting arrows at people.
Hey, he stopped Zoom. No, he stopped Reverse Flash with two arrows.
True. After Barry, like, stunned him.
Yeah. But hey, I mean, we don't do that argument with Batman. It's
true.
The Batman that's principle. I mean, he's as close as to Batman we're going to get in that universe,
it is true.
Sadly.
Bat Arrow. Forever. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see it. At the same time, I'm very skeptical about it.
Yeah. A part of me feels as though some of the CW shows have run their length. Like, I'm worried about Arrow. I loved Arrow seasons 1, 2, and 3, and then it just kind of got wonky.
It just seems like they don't know what they want to do now.
Yeah.
After their original plan ended.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hopefully season 5 gets it back on track. But
yeah. I'm just glad for the whole magic thing to go away in Arrow. Yeah. Let me tell you. But you know, it's really interesting to see all these characters, and then soon that rotating cast in Legends of Tomorrow for next season. I hope it'd be something like a Justice League United, where each member like is
like
the literally rotating cast.
Yeah, specifically constructed teams to solve this problem.
Yeah. I guess they said that, like, oh yeah, our villain for season 2 of Legends is going to be someone that makes Vandal Savage look not that menacing. I'm like, oh, come on, no.
Just don't want something to go bigger. Just you don't
give me something episodic with one big bad pulling all the strings in the end.
Let's get a Monster of the Week series going here.
Shout out to the Flash for a Monster of the Week series.
Yeah, and I feel Flash still has like plenty of room to grow. Like, there's so much they can explore with that. Like, we haven't even gotten Jesse Quick or Wally's Kid Flash yet. Like, that's
we
a
haven't
whole
got
separate thing they can do.
A Rogue War yet?
Yeah, we
or
haven't
a Rogue
even
Rebellion.
Yeah, we haven't even introduced Mirror Master and stuff. Like, there's so many different things they can do now.
What about Top? I can't wait for him He literally just spins in circles. It's great.
Doesn't he actually like spin on his head too?
I don't know.
Like a top, I can't remember.
But
one of those cheesy villains.
Yeah, you know. But that whole four-way crossover, it's gonna be insane, and it's gonna be something really weird mm-hmm. that's either gonna succeed or it's gonna be like,
there's
what
way
happened?
Too many people
yeah.
on the screen right now.
Yeah. Oh man, I don't watch Supergirl, so am I gonna understand Flash this week?
Right.
It's like, oh, I dropped Legends.
Again, and it's also just like, who's going to lead that team? Like, obviously, always like, I'm going to lead everything. It's like, I got this. But then you have Rip Hunter, who's just like, no, we're doing things my way.
And then Canary is going to sit there. It's like, where's my sister, guys? Guys? Where's Laurel?
What the fuck happened?
And
what do you mean she's dead?
And then Leonard's going to come back. It's like, hey, guys, I'm alive. And it's like, but you died a couple episodes ago. What's happening?
Not dead.
Yeah, just, and the whole Legends continuity is screwy to me.
Not dead.
Where they say it's like, yeah, we can bring people back at any time, and you know, Wentworth Miller is going to be a DC regular. But I'm like, but you literally killed him. You killed the literal furthest incarnation of him. Mm-hmm. That means he's dead.
There's no going back to that
unless he pops back up in the season finale, which that explains things.
He'll
hopefully.
Be the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Just like Vandal Savage is about to kill someone and then just freeze.
I've come from the Speed Force now.
Yeah, I had this my buddy help me out here. We have a thing.
Or he becomes a metahuman now, like in the comics where he just shoots ice out of his hands.
Could be. Alternate Earth, maybe?
Yeah.
Just bring him in.
Speed Force rules.
Who knows? Still want to see the treadmill. Just going to bring that up until I see it. I just want to see it once. That's all I ask. Just a glimpse of it. You don't have to use it. Just show a goddamn picture of it in the Speed Force.
See, again, the discussion we talked about last night, too, where the ultimate part of the crossover is the Wave Bird running straight into Barry on the treadmill, just like in the 52 pickup for Booster Gold, where mm-hmm. in the time travel, and we hit something, and they look backwards. It's just Barry on the ground.
It's like, what? Our bad. So, all right, one final piece of movie news before we jump into comics discussion. Apparently, Star Wars Episode 8's title was leaked this week.
Resistance Falls? The
Resistance Falls.
Okay.
So, everybody's just like, oh, so they're doing parallels. So, we got Force Awakens is the New Hope. This is going to be our empire.
Well, I mean, that's how all of the movies have worked. I mean, not even from the original trilogy standpoint, but every trilogy known to mankind, heroes celebrate a good win in the first movie. Oh, crap, the villains are coming back in the second movie. Third movie is really hard and tough, but the heroes will overcome. I mean,
just classic
it's
by the
basic plot structure. Mm-hmm. And why does everything have to be a trilogy?
I don't know. I'm trying to always remember, like, what was the thing that just sparked the whole trilogy thing, like, in recent memory? Because it wasn't, like, always like this.
Lord of the Rings.
Maybe? I feel like there was something after that.
I'm pretty sure.
Like, sparked it.
It's the three-part act. It's the mm-hmm. dramatic structure. It only makes sense. And, you know, if this movie is going to be our new Empire Strikes Back, oh, man, I am beyond hyped up for that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, even Oscar Isaac says, yeah, this movie is going to be a lot different than Force Awakens. It's going to be dark, and then relationships and friendships aren't going to go as they seem. And I'm like, okay, but can I have a space battle? Just one.
Another one, please.
My space battles are your cosmic treadmill.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's going to be if anything, it'd be kind of cool to see a parallel of, like, all right, Kylo Ren's getting trained and Rey's getting trained by their respective masters. Like, just show that parallel of, like, oh, like, this is why they're fighting, and then eventually there's this big climactic battle that throws everything down.
Well, I want to see is the rest of the Knights of Ren.
Yeah,
I want
what actually happened to them. Because
Kylo Ren's the leader of the Knights of Ren, so right. It's kind of like, okay.
Where were they this whole time?
Yeah, and again, if the theory is that the Knights of Ren were secretly Luke's other apprentices.
The ones that sided with him.
Yeah, and what I want to see, you know, this goes back to the Star Wars Legacy comics by Dark Horse, the One Sith, where it's not following the rule of two. It's just a conglomerate of Sith Lords all acting as a committee to do certain actions. So then you have Kylo with his light, traditional lightsaber, but then you have someone with the light whip or someone with the trident lightsaber. You know, those were always super cool things that just never would have worked in the other movies because the rule of two, the dark side.
Well, what, even like in, this is kind of going into the, we go on in Anakin comics when, or was it Darth Vader? Who was talking, was it, I know it was Palpatine.
It was Darth Vader this week. Darth
Vader, I can't remember which one it was who was talking about the rule of two.
Yeah, and that was something that was established way back when, Knights of the Old Republic, by Darth Revan and Darth, I have an iron jaw. I can't remember. It starts with an M.
Yeah.
It's been years since I played that game. And it's like, yes, I understand the rule of two. And
but, I mean, they're all dead now. There's no one stopping Kylo Ren to say, all right, we're going to have more now.
Yeah, and it goes also back to that argument that Kylo Ren's not really a Sith. He doesn't have the glowy yellow eyes of a Sith Lord.
He's wavering. He's still on that fence of which side am I right now?
Yeah. So seeing the Knights of Ren act as this, like that one Sith category, and then Rey and Luke are there, it's like, oh, frick.
Like maybe like it's reverse of like we used to have all of these Jedi with only two Sith. Now there's only gonna be two Jedi against all of these Sith.
Yeah.
Like just turn the tables.
My prediction is that I'm going to call it now, Leia dies because she is the leader of the resistance. With the thing where they're going to kill each of one of the original trio, each movie, it only makes sense Luke to die last or like Luke to die peacefully.
Yeah. But at the same time, I kind of imagine like if anyone's going to like trigger Rey to like become like stronger, like Rey or Luke would be the one to get killed next. But if now this title has been revealed, I'd actually argue that it probably will be Leia.
Yeah. Did you also hear that Frank Oz is coming back for that movie?
Frank Oz?
He played Yoda.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's like, going to come back to voice Yoda for episode 8.
Shout out to the Force Ghosts.
Yeah. I am excited to see that.
Can we get Ewan McGregor now?
Yeah.
Bring him in as Obi-Wan?
They talked about that too, and it'd be really cool to see, you
maybe
know.
Luke's just like sitting in a corner, he's talking to all these Force Ghosts just around.
It's the
him.
Jedi Council of Force Ghosts. Yep. And it's like, your grandfather,
he Rey, done messed up everyone.
I'm still very hopeful in Rey being a part of the Skywalker dynasty.
Yeah, everyone seems to want to say that. And even Mark Hamill just keeps like hinting at it. He's like, I know he's probably just making jokes, but at the same time, what if he's really just messing with us this whole time?
He is the Joker.
He's the ultimate trickster.
He was also a trickster.
I know.
There you go.
He
puns.
He knew this. Well played. So let's take a quick little ad break, and then we will come back with our comics discussion. Yeah, Zach?
Do you know where I can find comics?
I do, in fact. I have just the shop for you. It's called Hall of Justice Comics.
Can I find insert comic description here?
Yes, you can. You can find all sorts of current issues, back issues, collectibles, and you can even start up a poll there.
Can I insert pop culture event here?
I'm not sure which culture event you're exactly talking about, but I'm sure John has the details on that.
Oh, man, that sounds amazing.
It is. You can check them out at hallofjusticecomics.com or check out their physical location if it's near you in Colorado.
Oh, man. What part of Colorado?
It's actually located in Parker, Colorado.
Oh, man. I got to check that out.
If you're in that area or nearby, go definitely check them out. John has an awesome little shop down there, and he will hook you up.
Awesome. I will be there. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up was that this week, the DCU promotional campaign and those DCU titles kind of technically ended.
Yeah.
Whereas,
once Rebirth starts, they pretty much all officially end.
Yeah. The whole concept of the New 52 is gone, other than, you know, the world existing still. And then the DCU titles where they're trying to bring back the whole, they're trying to bring back characters, trying to bring diversity into the comic line. Kind of, it didn't end because a lot of those writers and artists are still staying on. Mm-hmm. But titles like Martian Manhunter, Midnighter have ended. And then we still have no end in sight for things like Dr. Fate still hasn't had a fully projected end date. Or Earth 2, which we know is still going on as a comic. We mm-hmm. don't know what's happening, whether or not they're getting a rebirth or just continuing on.
I think they're just continuing on because there's several series that are just continuing on and have nothing right. to do with rebirth.
Right. And so one of the things that I want to talk about is like just the end of DC's punch for all these characters and, mm-hmm. you know, trying to bring in a lot of those diverse characters. Because, again, there's a lot of people out there who dislike DC for not having a wide variety of diverse characters. But between the big two of Marvel and DC, I would argue for sure that DC has the highest range of diverse characters. I mean, characters like Batwoman, characters like Midnighter, all these LGBT characters. And then, you know, we have Brick from Teen Titans.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these guys are... they're representing, but no one wants to read their comics. Mm-hmm. Like, man, let me tell you, I loved Midnighter. Steve Orlando, and Midnighter's technically like a spinoff of Grayson mm-hmm. after that first yeah. arc. And
he was a villain.
Yeah, and
he got his own thing.
Well, he was in Stormwatch, too. That was one of the launch titles for the New 52.
Well, I mean, he was back in...
he was a Wildstorm property.
Yeah, Wildstorm. Trying to think of...
but man, I loved Midnighter. His comic was so fantastic. It was like an action movie from beginning to end, each sequence. And then his character himself, his whole thing was trying to figure out, again, human condition, mm-hmm. who I am. Am I more than just a man with a machine in his head? Mm-hmm. Am I human?
Is that how
human?
He gets his powers? Because I don't
yeah, he was operated
those.
On. Okay. That's his whole gig, is that he was scientifically experimented in the garden.
Okay.
And... you know, that's the reason why he broke up with Apollo, because he wanted to figure out who he was as a person rather than just him as Midnighter.
Mm-hmm.
And other than, you know, Midnighter making a bunch of butt jokes literally all the time in Grayson, we got a lot of depth to his character. But again, no one read him.
Yeah. I feel like it's just one of those characters like, who the hell is this guy? Like, unless you know Red Grayson, like, you have no idea who Midnighter is, unless you also read the Wildstorm stuff back in the day.
Yeah, I think my favorite description of him was in Batman and Robin, the black gay, or
black gay, scary
the black
gay.
Leather, scary gay Batman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes. But another series that ended this week was Martian Manhunter, which
that
you and
ended
I both
on a
read.
Really somber note, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's... really sad.
So spoilers, the whole run of Martian Manhunter was that
John was insane.
John, yeah, he split himself to us as the readers. We realized he split himself into five parts mm-hmm. at first,
and that each have his own a different part of his personality.
Yeah, so like Mr. Biscuits was his innocence, mm-hmm. The
Pearl
was his compassion or love. It was the guy with the blanket.
I can't remember. That's supposed to be
that's his brain.
Mind. Yeah, it's
yeah.
his brain or his reason.
Yeah, and then sadly, like, all of these characters, yes, they were fragments of him, but he fragmented himself so many different times that he created Malefic, which is evil.
His rage,
the Martian Man-Eater, which was his fear. And, you know, his whole goal these past six issues was... we're going to save Mars. We're going to save my people.
This is a chance to save the Martians.
Yeah, it was like as if time rewinded on Mars alone due to the power of magic.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the story, Malefic, or at least that incarnation of Malefic, is just sitting there telling him, it's like, Jean.
None of this was real.
None of this is real. You're a sociopath. You went insane a millennia ago. You know, Mars is dead. All those people that you try to save are all just ghosts of who you are.
Yeah, and even, like, Pearl's, like, trying to reason. Was like, no, I want to be human. I want to be this. And he's just like, no, you have to come back. And he, like, absorbs her again.
Yeah, and that
it's
was
like,
such
God, it's so horrifying.
A bummer note, too, because I was hoping Pearl would be our new Miss Martian.
Mm-hmm.
They referenced her in the solicits of that, too. And I'm like, yeah, this new character. And she's just gone. And all these things that made the Martian Manhunter series great was like just an insane dream from a man that was broken human condition millennia ago. And it's just such a bummer, but it just leaves him with him flying to space saying, I just need time to think.
And
I need time to be
alone.
The
one child character is just like, I believed in you and I still believe in you.
Yeah.
I do believe Alicia. You can do good. Yeah. She's like, I believe you can do good. And he's just like, no, I need to fly.
It's like, I can't do good right now.
Yeah.
And gosh, you know, a part of me is trying to rationalize, like, what if he did succeed? What if the splinter
like,
of
oh,
him
wow.
succeeded?
Like, what's going to happen to all these Martians? Like, are they going to, like, assimilate into society? Like, that was, like, kind of, like, hinted at earlier that there were all these Martians living among them.
Yeah, or are they just going to, or even if Malefic succeeded and Mars
did come back.
Yeah, and it's just one of those really cool things that's, like, what's going to happen? What is next for the Martian Manhunter? Because
he just flies off into space and he's not in any major solicits.
Nah. And you know, he was also one of those characters. I think, you know, he was described to us in Justice League. He didn't work out. And then we got to see him in Justice League America for a guest issue. Mm-hmm. And it showed
Justice
like
League
him
United.
Running away. He was also in Stormwatch, but it's one of those things. It's like, you know, a lot of people love this character. So what are you going to do to bring him back? What are you going to do to make him interesting again? Mm-hmm. And I thought this story worked out really well.
That was a really good story.
Yeah, but just that whole...
It's just a real bummer at the end there. Where yeah. It's like, wow, none of this was real.
Yeah, I actually had to put the comic down. I'm like, ooh, I need a break.
Yeah, I was just like, what? No, don't take away Pearl. I love Pearl. I want to be Martian, Miss Martian, please, no.
I think the kind of hint that at the end that I got is that after each splinter fragment of him died, mm-hmm. it morphed into John Jones again. And I'm like, oh, this isn't good. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, all of them, they're not real. It reminds me of a Beautiful Mind, essentially.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Where he creates everything in his own head.
Scenario.
Yeah.
He's just convinced that he's the only one who can stop it, which is true. He is the only one who can stop it by just realizing that he's actually insane.
And he's the only one. He was the one that created it all, too, mm-hmm. if you think about it, because the other people in the DCU were there. Constantine saw the giant red light from Phobos, and it's like, what's going on?
What is happening here?
This is a magic that we don't understand. And meanwhile, we have John Jones in a giant mech suit flying around. And it's like, oh, man, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And again, if that fragment of him succeeded of destroying Earth, would he wake up and realize that they were all fragments again? And that
I don't know.
Everything was just a splinter dream?
Yeah, or does he realize, like, he woke up, he's like, it's like, oh, thank God, that was all in my head. None of this was real. Or he actually just keeps the scenario going and just relives on Mars or something.
Yeah. Man.
Guess we'll never know, though.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the DCU. Like,
I've been enjoying the limited series. Like, they've been fun.
Yeah, all the limited series, you know, Poison Ivy, Martian Manhunter, Midnighter, Swamp Thing. They were all great. And I really want them to bring all these characters back and do something big with them again. You know, we did get shafted out of two titles, Mystic U and Dark Universe. Dark Universe got folded into
Raven was promised at the very beginning.
Raven was also promised.
Never happened.
Another thing like Poison Ivy and Swamp Thing, they have one more issue left.
Yeah.
And I really want to see
where
they
go. I mean,
Swamp
Thing's going to be a recurring character for Constantine, so.
Yeah, but like Poison Ivy, man, her story right now, she's raising 3 children, essentially, mm-hmm. and all she wants to do is protect them. All she wants to do is help them, save them, and they're doing the teenage thing of, like, screw you, Mom, you don't know what's right, and then there's just, like, a giant looming monster there that wants to eat them, and it's like, oh, this can only go badly for Poison Ivy.
Yep.
And it kind of makes me want Amy Chu and Clay Mann to just do separate villain stories, mm-hmm. like separate 6-issue series. That's like,
I mean, maybe this is a step to bring back the Gotham City Sirens.
Yeah, you know,
that'd be really cool.
That'd be fun. Just more, again, I can't get over Gotham characters. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. Other series that, you know, I haven't been reading Dr. Fate, but apparently that's been doing all right. It doesn't have an end in sight yet.
Just kind of weird of all the ones to keep going.
Yeah.
It's like the most, from what I've heard, it's pretty lackluster.
Well, a lot of these,
it has a moment, it's yeah. moments, but
a lot of the characters are being folded over, like you said. Swamp Thing's gonna be in mm-hmm. Constantine. Black Canary is gonna be a main character in Green Arrow again.
Yep.
Gotham Academy is still going strong. I mean, out yeah. of the bunch, and then I guess
I mean that was an ongoing series before anyway.
Yeah, Grayson being folded over back into Nightwing. Robin, Son of Batman, also ended this week.
Oh yeah.
Which also bums me out because I love the relationship between Damian and Maya,
mm-hmm.
you know, two friends or two people that are family because they're outcasted by yeah. their parents, essentially. Maya's father was killed by Damian in the first run of Tomasi's Batman and Robin and wanted to kill Damian, but then they became friends, mm-hmm. which is amazing because...
And then Talia and Bruce are fighting all the time because they both have different ideologies.
And it's actually kind of nice to
actually,
see...
Actually, no, it didn't end. There's one more issue.
No, it's over. 12.
Sure, because it definitely said to be concluded in the last issue.
Did you read 12? 12 yes. was the last issue.
I just read it. It said to be concluded at the very end, though.
Was it?
Yeah. I don't know. So I think it has one more issue or it's tying into something.
Yeah, but it was just kind of funny to see Maya and Damian. It's like, look, this Draga kid had no idea what he was doing. He was also being used mm-hmm. by his parents, like much like how Talia wanted to use Damian. And it's like, we're going to break
him
out.
Yeah, it's very much so like, got like the whole Batman, like, oh, are they the kids actually being used by Batman for his crusade, or do they have their own?
It's a nature versus nurture thing, human condition. Mm. I think that's what we got in today's podcast.
We should keep a tally of how many times we mentioned that.
I think that should just be today's episode title, is just the human condition, infinite of crisis, human conditions. But it's just so much fun seeing all these characters interact, and I know Damian is gonna get Super Sons, and he's also right. gonna be in Teen Titans. I want to see more of Maya. She was a character
yeah,
created
I
by Gleason and Goliath. I mean, come on,
giant
Goliath
bat.
Is awesome.
It's a giant bat dog
bear
thing.
Yeah. But one of my favorite moments from Ray Fox's run was, and I was talking to him at C2E2 about this, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna really show Damian, Son of Batman, literally by having Batman come in mm-hmm. and then with Talia, and they're arguing over parental advice.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Damian's,
you know, that
just
sounds
like, I'm just gonna go over
awesome
here.
Considering the last time all three of them were in a comic together, she killed him.
Yep.
And then the other time he was brought back to life, and yeah.
Yeah, stuff.
It was
Mother
I just can't get over
year.
It. I love Damian. He's probably grown to be one of my favorite
he's
Robins.
He's grown into a very well, like, well-rounded character. Like, from just, like, that origin of just, like, super angsty and, like, oh, I know what's best because I was trained by Ra's al Ghul.
I have the blood of the Wayne family. I am the true heir of the Batman.
Mm-hmm. He's becoming, like, he's... I feel like he's starting to, like, understand, like, where his place in the whole Bat family is.
And do you know who we have to thank for that? Dick Grayson. Oh,
thank you,
Bruce is dead. Well, Damian, you're my Robin. I'm going to teach you. Just Dick Grayson is
yeah,
the mother hen of the Bat family.
Yeah. I mean, he even showed in like Batman and Robin Eternal. Like Dick Grayson is trying to help everyone
mm-hmm.
the best way he thinks he can. But
yeah, I really wish Grant Morrison's run of Batman and Robin never ended, where we had Dick Bats and Damian as Robin mm-hmm. and.
I was really hoping Dick Bats would come back because I thought that would have been cool.
Yeah, but we got Jim Bats, which was something so different.
It was very different.
I think that's what I appreciate the most about Super Heavy also.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Beckus, the kaiju.
The giant bat kaiju fight.
Dr. Bloom.
So
hey,
American
Bloom.
Alien ended. I haven't been reading it, but you read it. I've just heard great things about it.
So this is the part where I just talk for like the next half hour, right?
About Superman.
American Alien, this issue was done by Jock with Max Landis. It probably wasn't one of my favorite issues.
Really? Because everyone's been giving it super high praise.
Yeah, I mean, out of like the 7 issues that came out, I think my favorite issue was where, I think it was one of my picks of the week. I think it was issue 6 where Clark's friends
like,
come back.
Yeah, it was 5 or 6.
Yeah, Clark's friends from Smallville came back and he butts heads with them. But in this issue, we got Clark having like this whole romantic conflict with Lois. Like, It opens with him texting Jimmy. He's like, "I told Lois I loved her," and she just groaned. And it has such great characterization because Man Lobo, literally Man Lobo, with like the handlebar mustache and
nice
bike, came back, not Twilight Lobo. He's like, "You're a Kryptonian. Oh, you're so sad. Your planet blew up. Oh, look at you. Are you actually crying because you discovered you're the last of your race?" No joke, Superman. And I think just that moment where we actually get to see Superman cry was one of just the most human things, because the whole entirety of American Alien is him not fitting in. Mm-hmm. It's him discovering that because he's Superman, he's different from everyone else. He's right. Different from Batman. He's different from Lois. And, you know, it's his parents' fear. Mom, Pa, Ken are like, "Clark, are you going to be okay on your own? Mm-hmm. There's no one there to protect you." And he's like, "I don't need protection anymore." And to finally just see him just like cry and have his heart break was just the most in character humanizing thing for Superman to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And he just beats the ever-living crap out of Lobo afterwards.
I was about to ask, has there actually been, a main villain for the series, or is it just Superman exploring himself?
It's Superman exploring himself, and it's a lot of just,
not in that way.
Yeah.
Phrasing.
Humans. It's a lot of him exploring the concept of what it means to be Superman versus what it means to be Clark Kent. Mm-hmm. And at, the end of the issue, he's in a hospital bed because he just got thrashed by Lobo. And someone's like, "Yeah, we found Clark Kent in the rubble of the fight. He must have gotten too close." And it's like, "Yes, exactly." And Lois comes in and it's like, "Clark, you're an idiot. I hate you. Why are you doing this to me?" And they share this really nice moment together. And it's like, "I love you too, by the way."
Aww.
And it's like, yes, Lois and Clark. And I guess the entire thing was like, what happens next? And I'm like, yeah, what does happen next? This is... And I guess it was just the most human Clark has been. Just, giving into emotion, giving into the non-Superman ideals mm-hmm. from beginning to end.
Not just losing his powers, but realizing how do you fit in with these powers.
Yeah. And it's totally outside of continuity, which is cool, because that gave Landis a lot of room just mm-hmm. to tell the story he wants to tell.
Right.
And let me tell you, I don't remember the last time I've seen Superman cry on a page. And it was just one of those heartbreaking moments.
Probably pick up and trade then.
Yeah, it's a wonderful read. You hear that, listeners? Superman, American Alien by Max Landis. And I love the fact that he just got different artists each issue.
Yeah,
I think
that's always a cool different aspect.
Yeah, the writing in issue 7, I really did enjoy. And Jock, I just love Jock as an artist, but... You know, it was still a great issue. Probably not my favorite of the 7, but just really solid.
I feel like Jock's risen to this status of just he only does stuff it seems like he only does stuff so specifically. He goes away for a while and then it's like, "Oh my God, Jock's doing art for this issue. Oh my God."
Yeah, everyone just freaks out. It's it's not just a cover.
Oh my God, he's back. And yeah. Then he just goes back into the shadows and then he comes back out again.
He's been busy with witches. That's everyone's hope right now.
Hopefully.
Snyder
said October.
Yeah.
So hopefully. So again, another thing I didn't read, but you read. As you tagged the note, Crisis on Infinite Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah. Future Quest came out this week. And I was telling you,
I'll
give it a shot.
I never watched a lot of the old Hanna-Barbera stuff. I watched... maybe Harvey Birdman a little bit, but that was the spinoff series of him, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. And I only watched maybe a few episodes here and there, but and Scooby-Doo, of course.
Yeah.
You cannot not watch Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, Crisis on Infinite Hanna-Barbera is a comic called Future Quest written by Jeff Parker. And I love his writing. He took over Aquaman for a while mm-hmm. and I just really dug that style. But basically it takes Johnny Quest, the Herculoids, Frankenstein Jr. I think, Harvey Birdman, and Space Ghost, and combines them all into this crazy universe, and opens up with the Quest family. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny Quest and Haji flying around on jetpacks looking for space distortions, and out of the distortions comes all these monsters, and Birdman is there, and it's like, oh, this looks like a job for Birdman. He flies out, and then Dr. Quest is like, I thought Birdman was a myth. And it's just such a cool thing. I'm really nostalgic over a lot of those Hanna-Barbera stuff. I remember one of the channels that we got was Boomerang, so I would watch a lot of those shows. But having all these properties come together, it was just like such a really cool thing, because it reboots them into something modern audiences would enjoy. It's not like, oh, here we are in the 70s on our walkie-talkies. No, Johnny Quest is on a jetpack. They're being followed around on a helicopter. There's all this cool, really scientific stuff. And then out of one of the space distortions, Space Ghost comes out. And it's like, I will destroy you. And I'm like, what's happening? Space Ghost is a good guy, though. And, man, it's so cool. And it gives me a lot of hope for whatever else comes out of this Hanna-Barbera reboot that DC is doing. I know you and I talked about it. It's like, what are you going to read out of that whole mess? And
yeah, I might actually have to revise a bunch of my poll now, even though I've given my list to my shop. And it's like, hey, sorry about this. I need to revise some stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up each issue one of the Hanna-Barbera stuff. Flintstones, I'll give it a shot. Mad Max, Wacky Raceland, I'll give a shot. Scooby Apocalypse seems ridiculously awesome. It's written by J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Giffen, who wrote my favorite Justice League International run. So just that humor style. But yeah, it's kind of strange that they've taken this property that's hasn't been used for decades, and they're like, we're bringing it back, kids. I'm like, why?
What spawned this? There nothing. Was there demand? I don't think there was.
Yeah, I mean, we have a new Scooby-Doo show every year, but...
True.
Shout out to Mystery Incorporated, best show ever, but got canceled after season two. But, yeah, you know, I really enjoyed Future Quest, and I'm really intrigued to see what's going to happen with all these other shows and why the Jetsons aren't part of everything.
Well, maybe they'll just show up in space at one point. It's like, oh, hi, Jetsons. Well, yeah, they're in the future, so that's probably why.
They're in the same continuity of the Flintstones. Those were crossover episodes on Boomerang for a while. That is true.
I do remember those. But, yeah, who knows. So, now we got to talk about this. Civil War II Issue 0 came out, and it was not anything involved with the preview. Thank God. It was so much better than that preview.
Thanos, you're under arrest. It was a very Bendis thing to do, though, don't you think? It was very much just expository.
Throw you off the trail. Like, even with, he does it all the time with the covers. Like, the covers usually don't have anything to do with the issue.
Well, not even that, but everything. It was just such a Marvel and Bendis thing to do where, all right, so we have four main characters. Mm-hmm. We're going to see all the points of view of She-Hulk, Captain Marvel, and War Machine this issue. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see anything with Iron Man yet.
We saw a little bit of Ulysses.
Yeah.
Like where he, how he became an Inhuman.
And we're going to show you everyone's ideals. Where we got Captain Marvel, it's like
she just wants to prevent
conflict. She wants to prevent conflict. She's worried.
From what I can tell, she's so worried that she's like the next time they don't prevent something, that's it. Like,
meanwhile, you got She-Hulk, who's like, free thought. Everyone needs to have this, you know, people should not be proven guilty unless they have done something that gives them reason to. We should not judge someone on their past mistakes and actions, which is awesome because it was a very cool courtroom scene. And then you have War Machine, future Secretary of Defense, possibly.
The current president's like, I want you to be the next president, because what if Tony Stark one day decides he wants to be president?
Yeah, there's a lot of social commentary, and this issue gave me a lot more hope of what the Civil War event's going to be than that 5-page preview of Thanos, right. You're under arrest.
I really hope that it's like you, how kind of have the aftermath of the original Civil War where Tony like reflects on like, oh God, I've made a horrible mistake. I really hope there's some sort of compromise this time. Like, just because it's like Captain Marvel, she doesn't want to, like, go against them. She just wants to prevent all this shit from happening.
But they want everyone to pick sides. Exactly. For 2 months.
Yeah. So there's probably going to be have to be some sort of fallout, but I just really hope that none of my favorite characters die. If Carol dies, I'm going to cry. I will be so sad.
Shout out to Rhodey possibly being dead.
But at the same time, with the Captain Marvel movie coming, I don't see them killing her off. Well, it's probably going to be end up being Rhodey or She-Hulk.
Yeah, and that'd be really unfortunate. But it's, again, a lot of people are complaining. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of dialogue. So
but it's creating the scene. It's giving
exposition. It's giving the good. It's a zero issue. It's giving exposition and gets you inside of these characters' heads.
We know, we know where Ulysses, like, he's just some guy who gets these powers and he sees the end of the world. Like,
and it's all your fault. And one of the things that people complain a lot about Bendis, it's like, yeah, it's a lot of exposition. This dude loves double page spreads. I'm like, well, he writes things so that it works really well in a trade. Mm-hmm. Or reading a lot of it all at once. It's like, it avoids ads interrupting the story, which was awesome to have because like every other page was a double page spread. But one of the other things that people were noting, it's like, especially with that 5-page preview, is that Bendis does not care about character power levels. He wants to write a good story that makes you think, and that's how all of his events are written. So it kind of explains like why She-Hulk gets taken down by a missile from War Machine.
Right. But at the same time, she can freaking jump onto a S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier from the ground.
Yeah. But yeah, this is giving me a lot of hope for the Civil War event, and makes me kind of curious to see who's going to be that one driving force. Because in the original Civil War, Iron Man was like, yeah, everything sucks. We're going to build a prison in hell for all these people. Or sorry, a prison in the Phantom Zone, not hell. For all of these people that are guilty of their actions. Comply. Yeah. And it makes me wonder, because now it's not the Superhuman Registration Act. It's going to be, should we prevent these events before they happen? And kind of Carol's thing that, like you were saying,
she wants to prevent it.
Yeah, she wants to prevent it so that bad things do not come. But that's very much like we saw that logic in Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. It's like that same thought process of like, what if we could prevent the events before they happen? But Jessica's conflicting thoughts of like, we shouldn't, just because things can happen and they have happened doesn't mean they will.
Yeah. You know, these characters, we should all have a choice in the things that we do. Was the general gist that I got.
It's kind of interesting that she's siding. It seems like Jessica might be this Civil War II Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where she sides originally with Carol and then realizes, no, this is going against what I believe. Like, I need to, Tony's extra. Because I definitely feel like Carol is the Tony Stark for this.
Yeah.
Just kind of based on, like, she's the driving force of, no, we need to prevent this.
Yeah, it's weird, too. It makes me wonder, since the two big sides are Captain Marvel and Iron Man, where's Captain America going to fall? Where's Spider-Man going to fall?
Well, everything it's shown, like, in the double page of, like, oh, these are the sides. Steve's with Carol, and I think Spider-Man's with Carol as well.
He's getting his own, like, miniseries, too, so yeah, I wonder if that's going to be another. Yeah, a bunch of series
are getting their own, like, choosing sides or, like,
yeah,
Civil War, like, X-character Civil War.
Yeah. And along with that, you know, the X-Men are possibly going to kill off another character because Marvel wants to screw over half their franchise because they don't have the rights to them.
it's just weird to see this shift from like, oh, the mutants were so, there's, it's like they're not going away, but we're going to slowly like kind of diminish them.
But they did go away. The Terrigen Mist.
They're killing, they're all dying from M-pox. And then now Dazzler's dying from M-pox. Everybody's dying. Yay.
Yeah. Great.
So much death.
Peace out, mutants.
Yep. It was nice seeing you.
Hey, shame. But I guarantee you, if they get the rights to one character to appear in the MCU, they're going to use that character.
If Fox just throw a link, if X-Men Apocalypse does go as bad as everyone, all the preliminary reviews say, maybe Marvel does get the rights back again.
But they still don't even have the rights back to the Fantastic Four after that tank beyond belief.
Twice.
So I haven't watched that movie.
I haven't either.
Waiting for Netflix. waiting for a day where I'm just cleaning and not going to look at the TV, actually. Yeah, just
have his background noise. All right, so the last thing we want to talk about is DC Rebirth preview, because, one, there were leaks this week, and there was also a short preview out.
Yeah, Newsarama, IGN, people on Twitter are sitting there like, this is the best DC comic I've ever read in my entire life.
Which is good. That's a very good sign so far. I mean, yeah. Yes, it's Geoff Johns, but if this is going to propel the DC universe into something that I've always thought, like, I feel like DC is just slowly going to overtake Marvel, like, on the comic side, just the more they do, the more they try to, like, just do new things.
Yeah, and they're actually, not that they're taking the Marvel approach, but they're staggering the release dates of all the number ones. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, when the New 52 came out, it's like,
coming in waves.
Here's everything for the New 52. All 52 books in this 1 month. Let's overtake those sales charts. Yeah. Whereas now it's very much like, okay, here's the June wave, here's the July wave, here's our August wave. Mm. So Newsarama gave it a 10 out of 10. They post a spoiler review and then a non-spoiler review. IGN gave it 10 out of 10. One of the writers, I think, on Star Wars was like, this is the best comic that I have ever read in my entire life.
Wasn't it Charles Soule?
No, it wasn't Soule. There was
Julie Liu?
No. It was the film Star Wars writer.
Oh, okay.
I think it's one of the top threads on Reddit right now, too. So, going off the 5-page preview, did you have a chance to read it?
I did not, but I have your notes here.
Okay, so I can
get kind of guesstimate of what's happening a little bit.
I got really excited because the story opens with narration boxes in yellow and red. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, two characters have been written in yellow and red, and that's the Reverse Flash and Kid Flash. So just give me Wally West.
Well, I mean, even in Titans Hunt, they confirm this is like, who's the 10th Titan?
Yeah, the end of Titans Hunt ended too. That was part of the DCU. Yeah. But Titans Hunt's last page was like, yes, there's thunder and lightning in the distance. I'm like, please don't actually be thunder and lightning. Do not give me those characters. Stop teasing me with Wally West.
I feel like it's got to be Wally West. Because
it is. That's how the preview ends. It's Wally sitting there telling Barry, it's like, I'm the only one who remembers anything. There's relationships, friendships, gone.
From like pre-Flashpoint?
It's a Wally West in the Kid Flash costume talking to Barry, just saying.
Jeez, how far back does he know?
Exactly. It's like, what happened? And he's, the whole narration continues. It's like, I've seen everything I need to tell Barry about what happened before the Flashpoint. Mm-hmm. So he's aware that Flashpoint happened, just the same way Booster Gold and Bart during Flashpoint were aware that there was another universe before this.
And this is kind of like my whole theory of the thing is like, so Geoff Johns has done, he loves Flash. He loves using Flash in like all these different alternate timeline things. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if this is Geoff Johns' new Flashpoint event, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, he did it with New 52. Like, Flashpoint spawned New 52. What if it's just Wally this time causing the events of Rebirth?
Yeah, and one of the things Wally was saying, it's like, there's the time is literally missing. There are people who should be here. There are friendships that should be here.
They've even, like, hinted at that with a lot of the stuff leading up to this, like, especially Titans Hunt, like,
There's missing memories, and then it's like, no, we are the Titans, which is like, okay,
we're not teenagers anymore. Out.
Yeah, we are not Robin, Wonder Girl, or anything. But one of the coolest things that happened in this Rebirth preview is that we got to see all these characters. We got to see Oliver Queen and Dinah were together. They were romantically involved in now
they series together.
They don't even, and while he's sitting there, it's like they don't even know each other. They don't even know what they're missing, but they feel an emptiness inside. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people are coming together again, and it's Aquaman on the beach with Mara proposing to her. I'm like, friendships and relationships, they're coming back. And you know, John's said that Rebirth is bringing back legacy, bringing back things that were missing in the DC universe. And The best thing, I included this in my notes, was Aqualad. The Calderam Aqualad appears in this 5-page preview, and he's sitting there staring at a fish tank, and his mother goes, is like, you're not natural, Jackson. You're not I don't even know what you are. And he's sitting there staring at his fish tank. He's like, do you mean the swimming thing? And she's like, no, about that boy. And it's like, what do you mean, my boyfriend? And I'm like, oh, sweet, Calderon is back and he's gay. And that was also one of those things about Young Justice. Thank goodness for Greg Weisman. You know, he's confirmed that, yeah, there are gay characters on the show. They're like, we're just not going to tell you who it is. And a lot of the fan theories, I mean, is like,
he could even be bi.
Yeah. And a lot of the fan theories was that Calderon was gay after the whole Tula thing. And so we got Oliver Queen and Dinah kind of not knowing who they are. Mm-hmm. You got
the Birds of Prey back together.
Yeah, you're going to get that really friendship and relationship back. You got Aquaman proposing to Mara, and that's a really cool thing after Abnett's run.
I've been loving Dan Abnett's run. Like, yeah. I barely read any Aquaman, but I'm absolutely in love with Aquaman now because of this run.
Yeah, it's awesome. Him and Jeff Parker were great.
I need to I want to go back and read some of the New 52 stuff now. Aside from that one little break that wasn't very good from what I heard.
John from Hall of Justice says he still dug it, but I'm not the biggest fan of Columbia. Yeah. And then you have Jackson Hyde. And then, like I said, the preview ends with, we see a panel of Pandora running away from something.
Oh, really? She's back. Yeah. She hasn't been involved since freaking Trinity War.
Yeah. And we see her as the one who created the New 52, bringing Wildstorm and Vertigo and the DC universe all together. So it's like, it's your fault. And other than people blaming Barry, but you know, it ends with Wally sitting there talking to Barry. It's like, I need to tell you everything that's been forgotten. Mm-hmm. I need to tell you about what happened before the Flashpoint. There's so many things missing. And one of my theories is that he needs the classic Wally West, Barry Allen tether. That somehow he broke out of whatever universe he was in through the Speed Force, and now he's just trying to find something to hold on to him. And one of the things is that he's running. It's like, no one remembers who I am. So it's like, well, Wally, in this universe, you are someone totally different. So what are you doing here? Who are you? And Dan Abnett's also been teasing. It's like, yeah, who's the 10th Titan? Who is this person? Everyone, after looking at the preview, it's like, oh, dude, Ginger Wally's totally going to go into Titans.
Has to be Wally.
Exactly. And then we have...
hold up. Before you go forward, do you think that... Because I've been reading some previews about Flash. Do you think Barry might die in this and Wally takes up the mantle of Flash again? Or is he going to be his own Flash?
I don't think they would kill Barry off so far, so close in this run of, like, you know... who's the writer? Joshua Williamson, who just came on from all these Image stuff. I don't think he'd be like, yeah, I'm going to rock this character for 6 issues. Well,
I'm not even saying that. Like, I'm saying, like, in the Rebirth events, something happens where Barry just gets erased or something, and Wally takes up the mantle, and he's the one teaching him because he has all these memories from the pre-Flashpoint stuff.
I don't know. It has been confirmed that Barry is the Flash in that comic. It's in the solicits, Barry Allen.
Everything I've said is just the Flash. It never says, like, who it is. So I just always assumed it was Barry, but what if, just throwing it out there, like, what if something happens?
Man, so many theories, so much Rebirth.
And it comes out on Wednesday.
Man, I remember, what was it, like 2 months ago when they did that Rebirth special at WonderCon?
We were so excited. Now we're even more excited.
Yeah, this was before we started the podcast. We were just texting each other. It's like, oh my God, this is what's happening. I'm so excited.
So many good things.
This dude from Nailbiter is going to be writing Flash. What?
I don't even know who you are.
Yeah. And everything with Rebirth seems really interesting, and everyone's been giving it so much praise. But at the same time, you know, I'm really wondering what's going to come out of this event. Is it just going to be something that triggers that missing time that people are starting to remember, or they're trying to discover all this continuity that's gone? Or is it going to be like, yeah, this was our gateway into just kind of bringing these people out? I don't think Geoff Johns would cop out like that.
I don't think he will.
And,
I feel like this is I feel like this is going to be his send-off for the comics while he goes and works with the movie stuff, since he's not writing anything else after this for this foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my freaking Shazam solo series.
I mean, maybe once he's done with all the movie stuff, or at least gets that going, he comes back and he does his Rise of the Seven Seas story.
And that's something he's actually been working with Dan Abnett. So, I mean, maybe that'll be a break in Abnett's run for Aquaman.
Yeah, and then Geoff Johns gets his run of it.
It's like, I'm not supposed to be writing. I'm
doing this anyway.
So, hey, Jim Lee, Dan Didio, here is my Rise of the Seven Seas. That was in my contract. By the way, here's also the next 10 issues for Shazam, already drawn. I'm just going to go work on that Flash movie now.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You know, there's a lot of stuff in Rebirth that I'm really excited about, especially just the concept of legacy, the concept of relationships coming back. One of the things that I want the most is just Dick and Barbara. Just bring them back together.
Please just bring that back.
Yeah. And there's also, so we know that Titans, there is also going to be another member in one of the solicits. They've shown Bumblebee on the cover.
Yeah, well, she was the new link that they talked about in Titans Hunt.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see her in the comics. And then Teen Titans is going to be a thing with different heroes. It's going to be Raven, Beast Boy, Robin, Damian, Starfire?
No, I don't think so.
I think Starfire is in it. I think it's the same as it's the same lineup as the animated movie that came out recently.
Look it up real quick.
It's our audience. He's typing.
There's all the designs that'll work. That'll do. No, you're right. It is Starfire. Yeah, I think you're definitely right. They're definitely doing the movie.
Yeah.
The animated movie one. Because she's definitely distinctly older.
Yeah. And then there's going to be another character that we all think is Blue Beetle. So I'm pretty excited to see Jaime get some
stuff. Like these character designs. I really want to pick up Teen Titans now. Damn
I'll get it. Don't worry. It's written by Ben Percy, who you already read the Green Arrow run from. So you.
Which is beginning progressively better the more he writes.
And Rebirth is going to go back into the Dinah-Ollie relationship. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things. Let me tell you, picking out my pull list has been the hardest thing.
I need to go back now, especially with my Marvel stuff I need to read.
I've dropped a lot.
Yeah, I think I'm going to drop a few things and add some things because I've been digging Black Panther. I might add that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might drop some other things too.
Yeah, I've dropped the entirety of my Marvel reading consists of Star Wars and Spider-Man and Iron Man. So
yeah, I mean, my DC stuff as of now is like 30 things DC and then 15 Marvel.
Yeah.
All my Image stuff, but
well, you and I were texting. It's like, do I really want this issue?
Yeah, I know it's hard to pick that out.
I was joking with
you. So many things that look really good in this.
I was joking with you. I'm like, all right, there's 7 Superman series happening, and I'm getting 6 of them. Which one are you getting? And I might drop something else.
I'm gonna get Superwoman.
Yeah,
because that looks interesting.
Lois Lane, Superwoman. Oh, and in the Rebirth preview, it shows John, Clark and Lois all talking. It's like, you know, what are we gonna do now that Clark or John has his powers? We've come to realize them, and it's like, there's so many things. I'm picking up every single Gotham title, most of the team books.
I'm gonna pick up the Green Lantern stuff.
Yeah,
some of the Green Lantern stuff.
I think the only team book I'm not really sure of is Justice League of America. They have not actually announced the team for that. Now that Brian Hitch has moved over to the main title,
there's Trinity. That's looks
Francis really, Manapal, looks man,
freaking amazing.
Him writing and doing art, it's gonna be insane.
Yeah. So let's just quickly wrap this up with our picks.
Quickly,
I've already talked a bunch about mine, so I'm just gonna go ahead and start. Titans Hunt, which I'm technically going to suggest that you pick up the new Titans series since this is a direct lead-in to it. But it came to a close. It was the whole story has been just this really cool thing of this lead up to Rebirth of okay, all these old team, the legacy Teen Titans, they're like, oh, there's all these things that you don't know. Like Lilith is this, she's the one who's been
Omen for those Omen, of you. Yeah.
She's the one who's there's all these memories that you guys don't know. We were a team. We worked together. And then this big climactic ending of the characters of just seeing their growth of it's Dick Grayson's I'm not Robin anymore. I'm Nightwing. And Hawk and Dove is Hawk's the one, only one that's wavering. He's just oh, I don't, it's yes, I'm still the same person, but Dawn Granger isn't the old Dove. Like, she's completely new. She's the new Dove. And then you got Roy. He's just like, I'm not Speedy anymore. I'm Arsenal.
I think this is the first reference, too, that the original Dove died.
Yeah.
Dawn.
At least Hall. In some time.
Yeah. I mean, Hawk and Dove had a new 52 run also.
A very got short canceled. One.
Shout out to Rob Liefeld.
Yeah. But yeah, it was such a great, like, climactic ending to, like, this whole lead up to it, and you get to see these characters like, oh, this is where we were and this is who we are now. We are the Titans, like, and that's why I'm so excited to read the new Titans series that directly this is leading into. Like, you get to see these characters more, and then, like we said, there's this 10th character that they're even at the very end, they're just like, they're all in a diner and they're just like, yeah, who is the 10th person?
Well, that's everything about Titans Hunt is an old shout out to the Teen Titans and
exactly,
the
yeah.
original Titans comic by something or another Grayson. I can't remember her name, but everything of Titans Hunt was like, yeah, Happy Harbor. This mm-hmm. is where our base was. We met at the clubhouse as the Teen Titans. And then even the diner scene,
yeah,
that was something that happened in the old Titans thing where, you know, they're all sitting at a table. Lian, Roy's daughter, is calling Aqualad fish sticks. And it's like, oh, man, I miss, again, just relationships.
Mm-hmm. And I think this, yeah, like I said, this is such a great, like, I cannot recommend enough, like, if you love Teen Titans, like, especially, like, even the old Teen Titans cartoon, like, I feel like this is in the similar vein of it, like, with just those relationships that they have.
And the high five from Iris showing up, so you get to see Jinx, Gizmo, Mammoth, Simon, and a bunch of I can't remember who the last one on that one cover was. They're coming back, so it's a lot of just
it's definitely like reviving that legacy of old Teen Titans and bringing them into this. So you get the new Teen Titans, and then you have the old classic We Are the Titans.
Yeah.
So it was super great just story overall, and just like the way it concluded was so excellent. Like, cannot recommend it enough. Like, I think there's gonna be a trade of it for this whole story. So yeah, if you want to pick that up before the new Titan series comes out, definitely do that.
Hunt it down at your local comic shop, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So, right. So my pick of the week is a Kickstarter comic that Dark Horse picked up originally. So Gene Ha came out with this idea of Portal Fiction, which is essentially...
Like the game Portal?
No. Portal Fiction. It's a whole concept where the fantasy characters fall down into a portal and come to another world. So think Alice in Wonderland, Dorothy.
Okay.
And what changed of Gene Ha's spin on the concept of Portal Fiction is that the main character was not the one who fell down the portal.
Oh.
Her sister did. So Gene Ha's comic May, M-A-E, came out this week. It opens with a letter from Bill Willingham, who wrote Fables, just saying, like, this is something you want to read if you are a fan of Portal Fiction and all those tropes. Mm-hmm. So May's older sister fell into a portal, and at the beginning of the story, it's very much of like, oh, Abby ran away again. And then May's just sitting there. It's like, where are you? What happened to you? And Abby comes back from her portal or whatever. And May secretly discovers some of the stuff hidden underneath her bed from that magical world. And it's like, Abby, stop running away. So it flashes forward to both when Abby and May are adults. Abby disappeared for 10 years inside of her portal. And she's essentially become the queen of a whole race of people, which are like these talking cat warriors that we haven't seen yet.
Well, like a Miyazaki thing.
Yeah. Whereas May just lives her life in this small, quiet town. And then she gets word, oh, your sister's in jail. So she gets Abby out of jail, and they're at a gas station, you know, just talking. It's like, where have you been for the past 10 years? You know, Dad's really sick. I've been the one taking care of the farm and all of his things. And Abby's just going off on this huge rant. It's like, oh, I've been saving the world, and I've become the queen of these people, throwing up a rebellion. And May's like, you're insane. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you? And then slowly but surely, like, they've been getting stalked by one of these creatures from the other world, and they've now come into the real world of Earth, and their goal is to essentially kill both Abby and May. And May has, like, no idea what's going on. It's like, where were you, really? Mm-hmm. And that's where the comic ends off. Originally, it was supposed to be just, like, a 100-page graphic novel. Like I said, it was kickstarted by Gene Han, and Dark Horse picked it up. And
so now it's an ongoing?
Yeah, it's an ongoing. One of my favorite things, I love portal fictions. I love the whole fantasy trope of someone falls down a hole and then something else happens. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I Hate Fairyland is that same concept,
yeah,
but with a different spin. And so May is that same thing, where the main character wasn't the one who fell down the hole, and it's her sister that was. And now they have to kind of come to terms of the real world versus Abby's world. So I'm really excited by it. I love Gene Ha. He's such a phenomenal artist, and man.
So he's writing and doing the art.
Yeah, he's writing and doing the art. So I'm pretty pumped for everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
And with that, I think that's going to do it for episode 10 of the Z2 podcast. Woo. 2.5 months, man.
Yeah.
Keeping it going. Just kind of as a heads up, we're probably, there are conventions and stuff coming up in June, so we might have to take a couple weeks off. But we'll let you know of those episodes when that happens. But as always, please feel free to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, both facebook.com/Z2Podcast and Twitter at Z2Podcast. And make sure you give us a review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitchers. That we really want to hear what your feedback is. Like, I've been talking to some people who've listened. They're like, yeah, this is really good stuff. Go put a review up. Let other people know if they might be interested in this.
Yeah. And on Facebook, if you could do us all a favor, under the like thing, click ask to get notifications from us, because the way Facebook's ad service works is that I can choose whether or not to tell all of our followers there, hey, a new episode came out, or try and build a new audience. So right. Rather than creating double ads, please make sure you've subscribed to us on Facebook and then clicked on the link or whatever that says get notifications from us. We only say, hey, a new episode's coming out, or hey, what do you want us to talk about? Mm-hmm. Those are the only two posts you'll ever see from us, so make sure you do that for us, and we'll love you forever.
Yeah, definitely. All right. And as always, we are Z2 Podcast. Goodbye.
A yuck.
God damn.